In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Uh-huh.
Let's all go to the
Tis time
lobby.
For us to talk movies. Let's we do it every Monday. It's Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge, right here in our studios, making our life better, like he does.
Oh, I'll listen to you. How's it going?
Very fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Busy weekend with several performances of The Graduate at Penobscot Theater.
Yep, it was a big one. We, Wednesday through Sunday, we had two on Saturday. That's a new thing that the theater's trying this year. They're adding a Saturday matinee to the middle weekend.
That's hard. I remember doing that in the Christmas Carol days. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's tough. But at the same time, I guess there's been some interest expressed by patrons for a Saturday matinee, which I get. Like, it's one of those things where it's like it's an opportunity to do something and still have your Saturday evening and turn it into a whole day.
Sure.
Like, I get it. And I think as time goes on, as it becomes more and more sort of integrated into the general schedule, I think it'll be good. But for right now, we're still kind of, it's just something that we're just not used to. Mm-hmm. So,
Your last chance is to see The Graduate at Penobscot Theater Wednesday through Sunday at the historic Bangor Opera House. Now, you posted a picture earlier today on social media in costume. And, of course, people are not asking you about The Graduate. They're asking, did you wear that ascot on Jeopardy?
Yeah, no, I could. It was a wonderful experience,
and I could say
with absolute certainty, there was no ascot wearing on Jeopardy.
Because I would say this: if you wore an ascot on Jeopardy, I would be more impressed than if you won 10 games.
there was no ascot.
I'm
so sorry to tell the world out there that. As things stand, there is no ascot.
Hey, did you hear about the Patriots?
Yeah, like just before I got in the car. It's I think it's a phenomenal move. Like it's what they gave up. I think fifth round pick,
and if he doesn't play at least 10 games, they get a late round.
Yeah,
pick
they get
back.
like a seventh back. So yeah. It's like, I mean, you're basically getting him for nothing. Like, he makes, comparatively speaking, he makes peanuts. Like, I think that I saw his salary was something like $780,000-$790,000, and that'll be prorated. And so, I mean, again, like, this is exactly the sort of guy that, you know, if you have the opportunity to take a flyer on, you absolutely have to do it, especially considering how, let's just say, not awesome the receiving core has looked thus far. A burner like Josh, I probably shouldn't call him that. That's unfortunate wording now that I think about it. A speedster like Josh Gordon, I think will certainly be a welcome addition. If he can stay on the field, great. And if he can't, then if he can't stay on the field for this team, I don't know what you do. Like, this is a sort of a last bastion for second chances. So you have to hope the guy figures his stuff out, because just tremendous talent, and it's a shame that things have gone the way they have gone.
Well, and wouldn't it be the most Browns thing ever if he went to the Patriots and had a huge season?
Oh, yeah, and just immediately just lit it up. Oh, my God, again. Oh, I swear to God, I'm not doing this on purpose.
He's a stone cold box.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry, Josh Gordon, if you're out there. I don't mean it. It's just how I talk.
He's just got to be a good doobie. Stop us, please.
Yes, seriously.
In the midst of your very busy performance weekend, you, Alan Adams, because of your dedication to The Main Edge and Downtown, still managed to get to the movies and see two films.
I did. I saw two movies this weekend. I saw the newest installment in the Predator franchise, called, funnily enough, The Predator.
Mm.
And I saw a new thriller called A Simple Favor, starring Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. Which would you like to talk about first?
Let's go with the main native, Anna Kendrick.
Okay.
My white whale. We cannot get her on this show. We keep trying.
Oh, man. Huh. So, A Simple Favor, it's interesting because I'd seen a number of trailers and had a pretty good grasp of what I was getting. It's like, oh, okay, we've got this sort of the sort of lost woman thriller, like in the vein of Gone Girl and, you know, a number of other movies that have kind of followed that same vein in recent years. It's based on a novel that actually only just came out last year, also called A Simple Favor by a woman named Darcy Bell. So I was like, oh, I saw the trailers. I'm like, oh, you know, these actors are good and it's interesting and it'll probably be an entertaining but relatively formulaic experience. It was not that. It was, and it's. I suppose I should have seen it coming because it's directed by Paul Feig, who is best known for his, his work directing, television comedy and Melissa McCarthy vehicles. And so to see him tackling something that's a little bit darker, I suppose I should have anticipated it being a little different than the standard sort of thriller fare. The basic gist is it's this woman named Stephanie, played by Anna Kendrick. She's a single mom who is, one of those super helpful moms, like volunteers at the school all the time, like, really loves her kid, does stuff for the bake sales and all that jazz. And also has a mommy vlog, a video blog, because of course she does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically her life. She dotes on her kid and does all this stuff. But it all kind of changes when she meets Emily. And this is the woman played by Blake Lively. She's a high-powered PR executive for a New York fashion designer. The two have nothing in common, but their kids are friends. And so the kids want to do a play date. And so there's a play date and Stephanie and Emily start hanging out, and it's awkward at first because they don't have a lot in common, but you know, once they start drinking martinis and sharing secrets, the relationship blossoms fairly quickly. Stephanie is a widow. Emily is married to her husband Sean, played by Henry Golding. He's a once famous novelist who hasn't written anything in 10 years. And so they basically become friends and everything's kind of weird. Emily's a very coarse, foul mouthed kind of fashion plate. Whereas, Stephanie is a very sunny sort of happy go lucky kind of person. But the switch flips when, Stephanie gets a call one day from Emily saying, "Hey, I need a simple favor." That's the title of the movie. Can you pick up my kid from school and I'll get him later? She does, only Emily never comes back.
Mm.
And so Stephanie is left to try to figure out what happened. And she starts, digging deeper. And when she does, she discovers that maybe she didn't know as much about Emily as she thought she did. She didn't know as much about her family, about her husband, about any of it, really. And things... they tend to get all twisty and turny like these thrillers, same sorts of ways you would anticipate. I know I'm being kind of vague here, but I don't want to spoil anything because it's really, there's a lot going on narratively in this movie. It doesn't all make sense, but that's okay. Like in the moment, it doesn't matter. If you start pulling at threads, things maybe unravel a little bit, but in the moment, it's really a pretty good time.
I like it. Sounds good. And Anna Kendrick, her usual solid performance.
See, the two of them are great. Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively are both just wonderfully, wonderfully talented performers. And they have a great chemistry together. It's funny. I've seen the movie described as mommy noir, which is a wonderfully apt descriptor of what we're getting here. Because it does have that sort of shadowy sort of seediness. But it's Paul Feig, and so it's also got, these sort of absurdist kind of moments, some gags, some pretty funny, some really actually very funny moments, including a particularly unexpected slapstick moment towards the end of the film that I'm not going to describe at any with any detail, but it was the first moment where it was just like, oh, right, this is a Paul Feig movie. You know, even though, you know, you've got this sort of serious kind of underpinning, they never, it's like it manages to be deadly serious and kind of silly at the same time. And neither of those vibes like undercuts the other one. It's really difficult to describe. I really, I really liked this movie, like in ways that I just didn't anticipate liking it. And if you're a fan of the thriller genre, check it out, because it's something that not really like anything you've seen before, right, in a lot of ways.
Alan, on a simple favor now, what about the new Predator?
I've got a soft spot for Predator, man. Like I really like, well, that sort of that era of action movie in general. Like, I cut my teeth on those movies, and so I have a pretty deep seated affection for that whole thing. You know, we don't talk about the Alien versus Predator movies. They don't really count. They're not canon. The great thing about this movie is it's directed and co-written by Shane Black, who's, you know, like a legendary action screenwriter, who has also made a name for himself in recent years as a pretty good director. And I didn't know this until recently, he was actually in Predator.
Like, the original?
Back when he was like still acting.
Wow.
Like, he actually had a small part in the 1987 Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Predator. This new movie, he's put together a wonderful ensemble of actors, and basically is giving us more Predator-ing in all that entails. Like, it's very gory. It's very funny. Like, it's you know, it's got, you know, the dialogue's all quippy, and people just die by the score in horrifying and gruesome ways, just blood everywhere. And it's just fantastic. Like, it feels very much like a throwback in that kind of way, where it's just like, you know, indiscriminately mowing down, you know, people. And it's like, oh yeah, this is what action movies used to be like. And it was interesting to sort of revisit that world. So it's set in the present day. It's set in a world where Arnold Schwarzenegger's Predator encounter and Danny Glover's Predator encounter in Predator 2 are both like that. Those are both in-universe things. Like, they actually discuss the events of those movies in this movie as sort of a continuity thing, which I thought was pretty cool. But anyway, you've got this guy named Quinn McKenna, played by Boyd Holbrook. He's a special forces sniper guy, black ops, blah blah blah. You know the type. And he's he's in the jungle somewhere, like executing an op, when a spaceship crashes nearby, and wouldn't you know it, out of the spaceship, it's Predator. There's a Predator in the spaceship, and he comes out and immediately starts just killing everybody, including the other two members of Quinn McKenna's team. He narrowly escapes, manages to bring back some of the Predator's equipment, and sort of mails it to himself as a way to have proof of this encounter. You know, he gets taken in by the military agencies, government, what have you, and is immediately deemed, you know, Section 8 or whatever, and is you know, set off to the psych ward. Meanwhile, it turns out there's this shadowy government operation devoted entirely to following Predators. And it's led by a guy named Traeger, played by Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Who's wonderful. Like, it's just like he's one of those guys. He's clearly having a phenomenal time being here. Like, he's like chomping on like Tums and just like and being weird and laughing in inappropriate ways. Just like a bizarre characterization. And so this guy is researching Predators, and so he brings in an evolutionary biologist, played by Olivia Munn, because, you know, she reads like an evolutionary biologist, to their secret facility, where, of course, they've captured a Predator. I don't know why these people never... You don't bring a Predator into your house.
You should know that
now. You really should, because obviously the Predator is going to escape and lay waste to your entire facility, leading to scores more bodies being horribly killed, both in hand-to-hand combat and with guns and lasers and whatever, like, and the weird, like, opening face, biting things, like, the whole thing. And so from there, we get our soldier, our hero, who's on a bus getting ready to be taken to the psych facility with a bunch of other soldiers who are also suffering from various mental traumas. You've got a dude named Nebraska, played by Trevante Rhodes. Keegan-Michael Key is here as a guy. Thomas Jane plays a dude with Tourette's. Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones is here as the token not American. And yeah, it's this team of guys. They're all screwed up in various ways. But wouldn't you know it, when the Predator gets loose, you know, somebody needs to save the day, and it's going to be these guys. Why do they need to save the day? Well, the Predator wants his stuff back, and this dude mailed it to his ex-wife's house, where his kid, who's some sort of weird genius, has figured out how to make it work. And so now everybody is tracking him. The Predator, the other Predator, the Predator's dogs, like everybody's looking for this stuff. And it's up to Quinn McKenna and his ragtag bunch of fallen soldiers to save the day and save the world and, dare I say it, save the galaxy itself.
You liked it, didn't you?
I loved it. I loved it. It's big and dumb. I mean, it's a stupid, stupid movie. Like, narratively, it doesn't make any sense. Like, so much of the stuff that happens, it relies on people either being, stupid or legitimately misguided, like just and
well, you
and
can I, never go wrong with that.
And I just loved it. I just I it was the joy of it came from the fact that that Shane Black clearly has a real like affection for the source material, and that sort of fondness for what you're doing, it really comes through. And like all the performers were having a great time. Again, like, enough can't be said about Sterling K. Brown, who's great. Jacob Tremblay, he's the kid. He was in Room. He was in Wonder.
Wow.
He plays the son, and like even in schlock like this, like that kid's in the conversation for best actors in Hollywood under the age of say 15. I think he's 12. You know,
but he's good.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, it's again, and we've talked on a number of occasions about how the bar has been raised significantly as far as kid actors are concerned. Whether you're talking about movie stuff or like stuff like Stranger Things on TV, like kid actors are just getting better, but I think he's one of the best of the bunch. As for the rest, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of performances these people do. Just know how to hold a gun, know how to take a punch, you know, fall down when you're supposed to fall down. Oh. and give me predators doing predator stuff. And you know what I got? Predators doing predator stuff.
Alan's a happy man. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge, Pass the Popcorn every Monday here on Downtown. All of Alan's reviews, well, you can find them, of course, on our website. Just click on the movie review tab. They're all there. And read what he has to say in great detail in The Main Edge. That comes out every Wednesday. Alan will be back to talk about that. Hey, I'll ask you this because you got your thumb on the pulse of the entertainment industry. I didn't know this till yesterday. The Emmys are tonight. Why did they move it to Monday night? They just get tired of competing with the NFL?
Yes. I mean, that's the short answer, I think, is that they just decided that, because, I mean, despite their falling ratings that we hear so much about from the Twitterverse, the NFL reigns supreme. And, you know, it's even, especially a game like last night, it was, with Giants Cowboys. Mm. Like, a lot of people are going to watch that game, even if it is a stinker. So, they made the move. Monday night's interesting. I'll be curious to see what kind of ratings the show gets, not just because of the shift in date, but, I'm curious as to what Colin Jost and Michael Che are going to bring to the table as hosts.
Yeah.
Like I like them. I like them in, the 10 minutes I see them on Weekend Update on SNL, but, this is the Emmys, like 3 hours. Like, are you guys really going to be able to swing it? I just don't know.
Our friend Matthew Gilbert, a TV critic in the Boston Globe, said it's time to do something different as far as the Emmys going. And he brings up what I think is a pretty good point. Television being what it is, you get a lot of repeat nominations. It's a lot of this, how many times can Jim Parsons be nominated? And so you see a lot of the same people year after year, which was sort of okay when it was three networks fighting for the awards. But now with the expanded universe and so much great TV out there, a lot of the new stuff finds it hard to get squeezed into the nominations.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the reality is, like, it's there's more with every year that passes.
Yeah.
Like our we're doing a I'm doing a fall TV preview for our for the cover story for this week's Edge, and I'm doing 18 new shows. And that's not even close to all of them between the networks and cable and streaming, especially because the streaming services are generating content at an astonishing rate. Like Netflix is obviously king, but Hulu, Amazon Prime, like all of these services are creating really, I mean, fantastic content. And the truth is, as the formula stands now, it's like there's room for five. In every category, and with the exponential growth of offerings, it's just not enough. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think adding more is the solution. I guess I don't know what the solution is, but I think he's right. I think something does need to change. We just need to figure out what it is.
Lots of rooting interest for us here on Downtown. Now, two friends of the show have already won Emmys. They did that with Creative Arts
right.
a couple of weeks ago or last week. Mark Duplass and his brother Jay won. For Wild Wild Country, which right. is great. Josh Gondelman won again as part of the writing staff of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. So right there, is there any other main radio show that has two Emmy winners as frequent guests?
I can't imagine there would be. I don't know who it would be.
Six more up tonight. Six more Friends of Downtown up for Emmy Awards wow. tonight. I just went through the nominees. It's crazy. Henry Winkler. Nominated for Barry, his HBO series.
Oh, that's great.
With Bill Hader.
He's so good on that show.
Silicon Valley, which includes our friend Stephen Tobolowsky, up for Best Comedy Series tonight. Godless, nominated for Best Limited Run Series, whatever that is, starring friend of Downtown, Jeff Daniels, who's nominated twice tonight for Best Actor in Limited Series for Godless and for The Looming Tower.
The Looming Tower, yeah.
Last Week Tonight up for Best Variety Series, again with Josh Gondelman. Bryan Cranston nominated for Best Guest Appearance for Curb Your Enthusiasm. And The Amazing Race up for Best Reality Series hosted by friend of Downtown, Phil Kagan.
Well, look at that.
So six more up tonight. Cheer for those Downtown folks.
Will do.
Get the Downtown bump. Alan Adams, back with us Wednesday this week?
I believe so, yes.
Good. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, Al.
See you soon.